Coming up on the Rokan Show right here on 720 WGN, Edzo is going to join us. Eddie Olczyk, you know, you love him from hockey, but he's also a major presence in NBC Sports horse racing coverage. And Saturday, NBC Sports is going to bring you the Kentucky Derby. No, it is not the first Saturday in May. It's the first Saturday in September. But we got to do it. Things are changing. It's an awkward world right now, no question about it. But he's going to help you understand what's going on. And actually, in the world of horse racing, this might end up being a permanent change. He will explain why coming up. I always love the Kentucky Derby because it's a rite of spring. You know, you get that sense, okay, it's May, that's summer's really here. Generally, it's warm, and you get a sense of the greatness that summer has to offer in front of you. But there may be a push in the industry to actually move the entire Triple Crown to the fall. So he will explain that coming up. Mike Rogers joins us right now, formerly of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Then he went on to Congress and he ran the House Select Committee on Intelligence. And now he is the security editor of the Rokan Show, unpaid position. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it.
Well, you know what? I do appreciate you doubling my salary every year.
That's exactly right.
Okay, 2 times 0. It's been great.
Actually, it's a 1,000% increase. That you just got. Okay, I want to ask you a number of questions about things that are happening here in the security world. And one of them, I want to start in Russia here with the Vladimir Putin enemy, this dissident who got poisoned. And people may have seen this story. He was on an airplane. He'd been apparently sipping tea in the airport before he got on the airplane, got really sick in the airplane, taken off the airplane, put in a hospital, then transferred to Germany. They have now identified this particular poison that was used on him, and it has been used against dissidents of Vladimir Putin in the past. Now, why is Vladimir Putin, let's assume he's poisoning these people, get your sense of whether or not that's actually happening, but why is he not killing them? What goes on there?
Well, I mean, it depends. And so sometimes the way the agent is ingested, it may not be strong enough. If you remember, not that long ago, there was a couple called Skripal. They were two Russians. He had defected. He was living in just outside of London, and that was 2018. They poisoned him and his daughter. Yeah. Both of them survived. They also used the Novichok nerve agent. So this is something that they do. So he does it for two reasons. One, he wants to send a message that if you're disloyal to him or the country, he will find you and kill you, right? So he's trying to send an important message to people in his government and around him that if you end up cooperating with the United States or the Brits or any other Western country, something bad is going to happen. And I mean, I have a list of probably about a dozen of these that he has tried. Most of them have been killed. Some have survived. And if you remember, the biggest way he did one was Alexander Litvinenko back in 2016. He used polonium-210, right, which is, I mean, and that's really dangerous stuff, and it leaves a trail. So they had to smuggle it into the country. Think of how difficult this case was.
So Ukraine, right? Wasn't it Ukraine that they were
Britain.
Oh, Britain, okay.
He went into Britain, went in, used polonium-210, killed him, it poisoned his tea, killed him with it. I mean, it was just a horrible death. And then went back to Russia, and they were able to trace some of those things all the way back to the airplane. They found elements of it. But think of what great length you go to smuggle polonium-210 in to do your victim. And that's what he's trying to do is make a very high-profile example and say, you know, he denies it. Of course, we didn't do it. But he's basically saying, look, I will do it, and I'll do it in the most horrific ways I can possibly imagine. So this is an old tool of a KGB guy, and he has used it often.
Because it's terror as well as it's death, because it's sending a message, like you said, not just to the victim or the victim's family, but it's sending a message to everybody.
You bet. Matter of fact, in the mob in Chicago in the old days, they would whack you because, as one mobster there told me one time, best marketing we have, right?
Right. Right, exactly. Are we taking him seriously enough, Vladimir Putin, do you think, here in the United States?
I don't know. I worry a little bit that the administration is so focused that he's not a problem and it had nothing to do with his election, that they are not taking him serious. And, you know, the things that they're doing in trying to get Americans to hate each other, I looked at what 2016, they never switched a vote. But what they did do is they pitted black activist groups against white nationalist groups, and
the Russians did, yes,
and by online social media information operations, and you know they had some success in doing it. Well, what the FBI just came out a couple weeks ago and said, "Yep, we saw them doing it again." And remember, they're just trying to sow chaos.
Yeah.
Some notion they love Trump or they don't love anybody, but what they do love is they love Americans at each other's throats, and then they take that and use that message around the world, saying, "See, America's falling apart. They're not what they used to be." That kind of thing.
Right.
So that's what they're engaged in. I argue you got to take that stuff serious, and we as Americans can't let them dictate our relationship with our neighbors here. I mean, that's what we've got to push against. And I think you do that by just talking about the fact that they do it, they participate in it, and we ought to make it known every time they do it so people understand that, hey, the Russians are trying to influence you, and it's not good for you or your country or your organization.
All right, Mike, hold on one second. We'll come right back to you. Mike Rogers is with us, former U.S. congressman, former FBI bigwig, and former Republican congressman, I should say, ran the House Select Committee on Intelligence, and he I want to talk a little bit more about that, but also, what is TikTok's deal with China? Is it safe? He's going to answer that. And then all of this concern about 5G technology. You're going to get marketed. You're already getting marketed on 5G phones and all of that, but is it safe? Who can we trust? I'm going to guess he's going to say no one, but we'll find out on the other side. But first, let's go to the WGN Traffic Center. Here is Mary Vandeville. Mike Rogers is with us. He's our old friend, and I say that because we're both getting old right now, Mike. I'm sorry to have to say that. Former U.S. congressman, former FBI honcho. He ran the Intelligence Committee of the House, the Select Committee on Intelligence. Okay, we were talking about Russia trying to divide us here by being involved in our bloodstream in 2016. We saw it happen. We're seeing it again in 2020. They get into the social media bloodstream, Facebook, all the rest of the places they can get, 4chan, and try to get people whipped up. But we're also doing this. It's really interesting because what you know the Russians have done is they're trying to make Democrats and Republicans hate each other because they want Republicans to think that Democrats are the looters, and they want Democrats to think that the Republicans are racist knuckleheads, right? I mean, that's basically what it's boiled down to. But now we're seeing our own politicians and our own campaigns do that as well. How much is the influence from Russia in that, is it?
Well, I don't think so. So what they will do is they will take kind of an organic occurrence. So we're having racial strife right now in the country, no way around that, right? And so what they'll do is they'll take that and then they'll kind of add fuel to the fire. So they don't really create something that isn't there. They go in and try to exacerbate what is there. And so if you looked at what they did in Spain with Catalonia trying to be a separatist country, there was an organic movement. What they would do is go in and just add fuel to the fire and just try to get more chaos. So when you see racial strife in cities, I will bet you somewhere around the corner there'll be some Russian information operation. And, you know, they'll have limited effects some places and big effect in other places, but they'll try to use that to their advantage. Because people are already, they're seeing it on TV, they're living it in the community, and they want to kind of help ramp it up. That's exactly how they do it.
Okay, let's switch over to China here for a moment. Talk about TikTok, which is, again, another social media app that's fun because people, you know, they dance and they move back and forth and they, you know, whatever it is. But there is an inherent danger to TikTok in terms of our own personal security and information.
China has been doing, and remember, this is every company that's in China has, by their law, has to provide information from that company to the Chinese Communist Party. So what they have been doing is taking all the information that is engaged in you, all your profile, all the information, like what you're doing, who you're talking to, who your followers are, all of those things, and they're creating and sucking up that data. And there's more there than you realize. And so they're using it to improve their big algorithms. They're AI algorithms, artificial intelligence. Mm-hmm. And it's not to your knowledge, and they're not, you're certainly not asking your permission. And then they create these huge data profiles. And even in China, they call it their social credit system, where if you they find it in your social media, this is for Chinese citizens now, but if right. in your social media you're talking bad about President Xi, guess what? You get a little black mark from the Chinese Communist Party. And last year, some millions of people in China were denied domestic travel, meaning you couldn't buy a plane ticket, a train ticket, or a bus ticket because of the Communist Party said that you're not behaving well. So if you think how Orwellian that is, yeah. Well, guess what? When now Americans using it and they're supplying their data too, so they're trying to be data dominant, they being China, by 2025. And the more data we feed into them, the more that gives them the likelihood to do that. That's why people are really concerned about so many domestic users supplying that data, working with Chinese AI, artificial intelligence algorithms, and why they're advancing their cause a little quicker than we can stop them. And I think that's why people are concerned about it.
Are you concerned as, you know, a guy who spent your life basically working for the American people, whether it's the FBI or the congressman or whatever it is, are you concerned that we are now starting to see in our own culture this sort of breaking down because of the digital nakedness of our profiles and the, you know, we expose a lot of things about ourselves, that we could end up doing the same thing to our own people here?
Well, yeah, I mean, data can be used against you, absolutely. And the social media companies and why you see Congress starting to pay attention collect masses of amounts of data, personal data, where you shop, what you're interested in, what sites you browse. They geolocate your phone, and then they use that data for advertising. And so, I mean, by the way, this is things that the government doesn't do, right? They can't do this mass collection, and I would argue shouldn't do. And so, yeah, we see it with these big corporate conglomerates, and we gladly sign away that information so that we can, you know, send funny, you know, memes back and forth. I do worry about it, because that information in the wrong hands, could and possibly would be used against you in some way, or, you know, used to try to manipulate you in ways that that I find a little bit nervous. And again, people think, well, because it's I've signed away this to Facebook or Twitter or even Apple or Microsoft, that, you know, they're not going to do anything. But problem is, they have just vast amounts of this information, and I worry about it.
Yeah. 5G, people are also concerned about that. There's all kinds of rumors on the internet about 5G being either bad for your health or bad for your security or bad for your personal, your privacy. What do you make of that?
There's no science that says it's any different health impact than any other radio signals that, you know, the zillions that are flying around every day around the country that you walk through. Millimeter waves, that's where I think it started. People were saying, well, these high intense millimeter waves that would shoot data from one tower to the next, that has some health impact. I candidly, on the health side, just can't find anything that would support the position that it's a health risk or an increased health risk. But data-wise, you know, think about the millions and literally billions of sensors, everything from your refrigerator to your HVAC, you know, air conditioning unit, your garage door opener, all those sensors with 5G will be connected to the internet in some way. And I think people are worried about, okay, that's a lot of data flying around. Is that safe? And, you know, one of the things that we're doing, and I happen to be the vice chairman of MITRE Corporation, so it's a not-for-profit public mission company, we're looking at, could we create security up front of data and how to secure 5G data before we fully develop it. And remember, we didn't do that on the internet. It was never designed for security, right, which is why we have all these security problems. Could we design the thing to have security up front? I think we can. We're working pretty hard on it. And if we can get that piece right, man, that hurts the Chinese, right? They can't get at your personal stuff. Hurts the criminal element and organized crime and all right. those other folks who are trying to steal from you. So I'm fairly positive about the benefits of 5G, and if we get ahead of what the challenges are.
I want to ask you really quickly here about Edward Snowden. There has been a documentary and then another movie made about about Edward Snowden. A lot of people are seeing it that Edward Snowden now has become a hero to a lot of Americans based on what they're watching on Netflix. Do you think that Edward Snowden deserves a pardon? Because I keep hearing that and seeing that on social media because people are watching the documentary.
Yeah, I think he deserves a trial here in the United States. He should come home and face a trial. And the problem is that there's all the romance surrounding of what he did and the notion that he saved Americans' civil liberties. But what people don't realize is that he stole millions of bits of information that had nothing to do with what the public perception is. I mean, and they were all classified. He stole all that data. By the way, he wasn't even authorized to have it. So he went and stole it from other files, packed it all up, and now is in the loving arms of an FSB agent outside of Moscow.
Right.
Now, how anybody believes that is some kind of heroic action is beyond me. And here's the other piece. He never, ever went to a whistleblower channel, and he had something like five available to him he could have done. He didn't pick any of them.
Right.
He just packed up in the middle of the night and now is in the hands of the Russian government.
Right.
I mean, please.
I'm sorry, Mike. When people say that to me, I'm like, the guy is living in Russia. There's a reason he's living in Russia. And
exactly.
and so you got to just kind of look at it that way. All right, we got to leave it there. But I really always appreciate the time you spend with us. Mike Rogers, formerly the FBI House Intel Chairman when he was in the House of Representatives through the great state of Michigan as a Republican. Thank you so much, Mike. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me, and thanks for that 25% raise again this year.
I know. Thank you. Checks in the mail. Goodbye.
I got it. Well, if it gets here, the mail's screwed up these days.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, that's on you, too. All right. Thank you, Mike. Let's check in with the newsroom right now. Here is Kim Gordon.